morning. Good morning. Good morning. In case you were wondering, yes, we are filming Jumanji 3 after service. It's going to happen. What, you don't think we always have the backdrop like that? It's exciting. It's exciting. We had a great week of VBS. My job was media. I got to hang out in the back. My wife's job as was the stage person, and she got to be up here on stage and teach all of the dance moves, and it was fantastic. If you're new, if this is your first time at Life of Purpose, so glad you're here, and Shannon just shared some stuff with you. But we are in the book of James, and I'm going to be teaching from the book of James, and then at the end of service, I'm going to give a little report on what happened this week with VBS, and we have a little picture slideshow, and then the kids are going to come up and do one of their songs that they like. So that's coming up at the end, and if you want to tune me out until then, I understand, but I'll do my best to teach you the Word of God. We do not try to entertain you. We're not that kind of church. We're a kind of church, in fact, our purpose statement is we're here to help you get closer to God, understand the Bible, and love one another, and so we just try to keep it simple, and I'm going to teach you from James, chapter 1, and we're kind of going through this verse by verse, and I'm covering a few verses today. But I want to start off by asking you a question. In fact, get you a little engaged. Raise your hand if you liked taking tests in high school. Be honest. Raise your hand if you liked it. Some of you are reluctant to raise your hand. All right, if you're next to someone with their hand up, you have my permission to call them a nerd. And feel free to give them a swirly after service downstairs. That's totally fine. Come on, tests are not something we like. Nobody likes tests. Tests can cause those side effects that we hear about taking certain medications. You can experience high blood pressure, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. You might feel anxious, depressed, angry, and lose sleep. Am I right? Yeah. Tests can make us miserable. I had a friend in college. She needed to pass this test to be a teacher, and it took her 9 times to pass it. I mean, there was a lot of anxiety there, but she did it. Unfortunately, when you leave high school, the tests do not stop. In life, we have tests every day, and they may not be with paper and pencil. They might not be filling out a Scantron. Remember those? Yeah, you knew you drew pictures. Who drew pictures with the Scantrons? You don't pass, but you draw the pictures, right? You like that? That was fun, filling out those circles. But life is just full of tests, all kinds of tests, trials, obstacles, challenges. We call them different things. But there's circumstances, and they affect us, don't they? Tests affect us physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. I mean, every part of our being, it's affected. In life, we are always going through storms, and we're trying to navigate our way through it. In fact, just think about this week alone. Just think about your week. Look back this week and think about how many tests you went through. And even think about, just for a minute, even though you probably tried to block it out, you came to church and you're like, I just want to focus on the Lord. I don't want to think about anything else. But we all have that one big thing going on in our life, that one big issue, that one big test that's going on, because that's the reality of life. We're always being tested. And our friend James, the brother of Jesus, knew this reality when he wrote his little letter, and he wrote to Christians that were being tested all over the world, and he wanted to encourage them as they were going through their test. He wanted them to understand the testing of their faith, and I want you to understand it as well. I want to encourage you. I believe James's words still apply to us today. Understand the testing of your faith. That's the title of this particular message. I want you to understand it. So many of us as Christians, even Christians, don't understand when we're going through something, why we're going through it. What's the purpose behind it? And when you understand the test, when you understand the purpose and the desired outcome of the test, maybe you won't experience those side effects that we know can happen. Maybe you'll feel a supernatural peace as you're going through it. Maybe. Anybody would like to have that kind of peace in the midst of your test? This word today from James, this is for you. So we're going to stand, if you're able, in reverence of God's word. That's how much we hold in high regards the Word of God, and I'm going to read to you the passages that I'm going to be covering. I know Keith preached on James 1, 2 through 4 before, but I'm reviewing those and then hitting 12 through 15. So starting in verse 2, James writes, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he receives the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. And let no one say when he is tempted, 'I'm being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. And then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death." Let's pray. Father, I ask today that you would bless us with something that truly is supernatural. Lord, we came here today to experience you, to know you more, to feel peace, to get closer to you. Lord, we came today with expecting hearts. And I pray, Father, that you would bless us with not only a word, but something that would change our lives forever. Your Bible, your Word of God, the Word of God is not meant just to inform us, but transform us, change us into your Son Jesus, to be more like him. And Lord, we all go through tests, and this is hard when we go through them. But Lord, help us today understand the test. Help us, Lord, today to have confidence as we go through it, that you are there and we can trust you. As we sang in every song today, we can trust you. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Please be seated. I would like to make 3 points today from the text, 3 points that I think will be helpful for you. The first point, if you're taking notes, the testing of your faith has one question with many parts. The testing of your faith has one question with many parts. James chapter 1, verse 2, James says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." Notice trials in parentheses. I like to bring up the Greek, which is the original text, and to understand what does that mean, what does he mean by trials. And the word is peirasmos, and peirasmos appears 20 times in the New Testament. It's used often in the New Testament, and it's not always translated trials. The ESV Bible, which is the one that I teach from, the English Standard Version, is using trials as a way of helping us understand what James is saying, but sometimes when the same word is used in the Greek, it's translated differently. It's translated as tests or temptations, actually, as we'll see a little bit later in James. And they do that to help us understand, but sometimes we miss or we don't put it all together, and that's my job to help you put it all together. But our focus right now is simply this. There are trials of various kinds. If that's true for you, if you're going through trials of various kinds, say it's true. Verse 12. "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life." Now, James goes on to say a little bit later in his letter that there will be a trial and a test. And notice it is not plural. In verse 2, he says, we will go through various trials, plural. But now he's saying that you must remain steadfast under trial, singular. And when you have stood the test, singular. Why is he saying that? It's proving my point that the testing of your faith has one question with many parts. It's one question. It comes down to one question. In college, I had a professor that gave us a final exam with one question. Imagine that. You get to the final exam. It's a big grade. One question. He announced it with a bit of a smirk on his face. We were all kind of feeling the feelings like, holy cow, this is exciting. We're going to get out early. But then, oh my gosh, this is horrible. What if I get it wrong? What if I didn't study that particular question? This is 20% of my grade. Can you imagine? Then the professor went on to say, the exam has one question with 54 parts. We did not appreciate his sense of humor. In fact, I wish we would have had social media back then so I could have posted some things about that professor. He was diabolical. But it reminds me of what James is saying here. The testing of our faith has one question, but with many parts. And what is the one question? In verse 3, James tells us it's the testing of your faith. And when you know what faith means, I've always understood faith as a synonym word to be trust. Faith means trust. So the big question is, will you trust God? Will you trust God? That's the big question. And only you can answer that when you're going through what you're going through. Will you trust God? And there's many parts. Part A, when your health takes a turn for the worse. Part B, when you're overcome with anxiety. Part C, when you lose someone you love. Part D and E and F. And I could go on and on, but I know you know from your own experiences, don't you? When you're going through something, we're always going through something, or we're about to go through something, or we just finished going through something. If that sounds right to you, say amen, amen. Yeah. Now think for a moment. That big thing you're going through right now, whatever it is, your current test, that thing that's weighing heavy on your mind, here's the hard question. Are you trusting God with it? Are you trusting God with it every day? Every day with all of it. Because here's the alternative. If you're not trusting God, you're trusting yourself. You're trusting yourself. You're trusting what you can control. And you know what control is? It's our way of taking God's place. Trust me, I am a control freak, and I know I'm looking out at some others that are control freaks. We like to be in control, and when we have to be in control, God can't be in control. So see it for what it is. It's our way of taking God's place. If you can't say amen, you better say ouch. I'm convinced God will keep testing us until we trust him completely. So whatever it is that you're going through right now, the most important thing you can do is trust God. He's going to keep testing you until you trust him completely. And if you're wondering if that doesn't sound like the character of God, why would God keep testing me? It sounds like he's doing that out of spite or out of vengeance. But no, he's actually doing that out of jealousy. A jealous love for you. God loves you that much that he would test you until you trust him completely. Think about the greatest commandment. We know the Bible tells us this. They asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? The Jews have 613 commands to follow, to obey the law. And Jesus said, I'll sum it up in one. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love God with everything. Now, what does that look like practically? How do we love God with all of us? I would sum it up with one word, and that's first fruits. Shannon mentioned it. First fruits. Are you giving God your first and your best? Because when you love someone, don't you give them your first and your best? Don't you give them like the center of the cinnamon roll? You know, that's like the best part, right? You give them the first and the best. So do you give God the first part of your time every day? Do you give God the first part of your talents and the first part of your treasures, your paycheck? Do you give God first, or do you give him what's left over? First fruit says you give him the first and the best, and that shows that you love him and you trust him. And when you do that, when you have a habit of like, yeah, God, everything comes from you. I'm blessed to breathe the air I breathe in. I'm blessed to have my job, my family. And so I'm going to give you the first and the best in everything. Well, then when a trial comes along, when a test happens, isn't it just going to be second nature to be like, Well, God, you can have that too. Why not? It's yours. I trust you. That's what we're talking about here. That's what it means to give God control. So let this be your prayer. God, I give you my all. I give you the best part of my day. I will help others in your name. I will tithe the first part of my paycheck to you. I will love you and trust you with all I have. And so when I have this trial, when I'm going through this test, God, I'm giving that to you too. I'm going to trust you to help me walk through this storm. I'm going to trust you that you're going to surround me with the people. The proverb says that a wise man has an abundance of counselors. I trust you, God. That's our prayer. Let that be your prayer. Will you trust God? Because the testing of your faith has one question, many parts. And the question is, will you trust God? Second point, the testing of your faith is intended for your success. This is such good news. James 1, 3 and 4, for you know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Verse 12, blessed is the man or woman who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised those who love him. What is James saying there? It's quite obvious that the testing of our faith produces good in us. It's intended for our success. How many of you remember taking the ACT or the SAT? Remember that test? Maybe you took something like it if you went into trade school or something. It's an aptitude test. It's a standardized aptitude test. It is not intended to pass you or fail you. It is intended to place you. Nice bell curve. It always creates a bell curve. And there's a percentile based on wherever you land. Your score, your number puts you in a place. And that's the purpose of that test. Now, some of you remember your score. In fact, some of you may have taken the test more than once to get a better score. Again, swirlies downstairs. Don't worry, Jesus still loves you. But just as a standardized test has a purpose, so do the tests of your faith. God has a purpose for testing you. He wants you to succeed, and he's going to test you until you do. I feel like this, when I think about this and as I thought about what this means and the implications, I think about a lot of people who don't believe that is true about God's character. They believe that God does things to them to hurt them if they sin against him or if they are not living the way that is expected. I think a lot of people believe that when they screw up, God is just waiting for that screw up so they can drop a house on them or something. But are you the Wicked Witch of the East or the West that you need a house dropped on you? Are you waiting for God to hit you over the head with a hammer? Because God doesn't do that. God's not waiting for that. That's not in God's character. If you read John 15, you know that we have a loving Father who wants to abide with you. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. There's no hurt. There's nothing in God that says, I want to hurt you for messing up. It's the total opposite. God's rooting for your success. God is planning for your success. And just like our Michigan roads, the road to success is always under construction. He's always working on us. There's no easy path to persevering under pressure. James says in verses in 2 through 4, the testing of your faith will produce the steadfastness. God just doesn't say, okay, here you go. Here's steadfastness. I'm handing it out, you know, like candy. No, it produces. It's you going through stuff, so you will be lacking in nothing. The key to remaining steadfast, the key to being able to persevere under pressure is truly what James says in verse 12, that we would be steadfast, and that means we would remain under God's protection. The word is hypomeno. That's what steadfast means. Hypomeno means to stay under. So here's a picture of an umbrella. We all know what umbrellas are for. Umbrellas are for protection. Perhaps you were outside yesterday when that rainstorm came through, that powerful rainstorm. And the only protection you have is to be under something. Take cover, we say, whenever bad storms hit. Well, where's the cover when storms in life hit? God. God's the umbrella. Why would you want to go outside of the umbrella? Why would you want to endure that? Why would you want to trust in anybody else but God? Stay under His protection. Now, I understand maybe you have ventured off outside of God's protection in the past. Maybe right now you're not even trusting in God. You're just still trusting in yourself. I understand. I've been there. I pushed God out of the driver's seat, took over. And when I do that, I feel like I failed the test. But understand the beauty of God testing you. He's not failing you. He's waiting for you to succeed. He's not wanting you to fail so He can punish you. He wants you to succeed. 2 Peter 3:9, Peter says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness. He is patient toward you." Say amen to that. He is patient towards you. He doesn't wish any should perish, but all should reach repentance. He's talking about salvation, but He's also talking about our sanctification. It's a process of God changing us to be more like Him. Holiness. Be holy as I am holy. God wants you to succeed. He is waiting for you to succeed. James 1:12, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test." Think about that expression, James says. He has stood the test. It could also be translated, "when he has been approved." For when you have been approved, not if, but when you've been approved. John 15, verse 8, Jesus says, "By this my Father's glorified, when you bear fruit and prove to be my disciples." Think about what that's saying. It's we talk about it all the time, and we like to quote Jeremiah, "God has plans for us, plans to be prosperous," and all of that. This is the same thing. This is what James is saying here. This is what Jesus says to us, that the testing of your faith is intended for your success. This is the God we serve. Every test is for your benefit. And it's hard sometimes when we're in the middle of a test. It's hard sometimes when we're going through something to count it all joy. But we know it is for our joy and success. That's the second point. Third point, the testing of your faith will tempt you to sin. The testing of your faith will tempt you to sin. Let me read to you the three verses, 12 through 15, and point out the word choice. "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial." See the word parasmos there? Same as before in verse 2. But notice how similar it is to another word coming up. "For when he has stood the test, he receives the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." And now James says, "Let no one say when he is tempted." Notice the word, parazo. Very similar to parasmos. I'll go on to read the rest. "I'm being tempted by God. God cannot be tempted with evil, and He Himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire. And that desire, when it's conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death." I had studied this a little bit back in March when we were going through the Gospel of Luke. And if you're looking for a church that teaches the Bible, you found the right church. We go through books verse by verse. We just got done with the Gospel of Luke. We went into James this summer. And when we were in the Gospel of Luke, I taught a message, I preached a message called Faith on Trial. And it was Peter's faith versus Judas, who betrayed Jesus, his faith. And I compared those two. And so if you want to listen to that, you can go to our YouTube channel and see that on March 15th. It's called Faith on Trial. It could be a good follow-up to this message. But what I learned back then is, as I began to look at all of the verses that talk about our faith on trial and the testing of our faith, I stumbled across, of course, James, point right to James, because James talks about it here, and I began to realize as I studied that James uses really the same Greek word in two different forms, but the translation was trial, test, temptation. And I didn't understand why the English translators were doing that, and it's to help us, but in this case, I want to help you even more to help you see that this word peresmos and the word perezo, they both mean the same thing, putting to proof. It's putting it to proof. It's proving it in you. The test is to prove what's in you, to bring out what is in you. So it's not meant to confuse, and it's context is everything, of course. But let me just tell you and help you understand what James is saying here. And I think this is important, and you'll see why in a second. All tests are from God. All tests are from God. Now, that statement alone, I don't think many Christians would disagree with me. All tests are from God. But Christians get confused on this, and I know because I've been there, is that when something hard happens in our life, we sort of toggle between, is this God testing me, or is this Satan tempting me? How many of you have asked that question before? See, a lot. We wonder, is this God testing me, or is this Satan tempting me? And when we're done today, I hope you never ask that question again, because I don't think it's a valid question. I understand Satan tempts. I get that. We see that in the Bible. That's not what I'm saying here. What I'm saying here is, and what James is saying here, is that that's not who's tempting you. That's not who's tempting you. God testing you and Satan tempting you, those are not two mutually exclusive events. It's not one or the other. James says it's the same thing. James, by the way, doesn't even give the devil any credit. He doesn't even mention the devil here. He mentions evil, but he doesn't say it's the devil. He doesn't say that. In fact, we know from all of Scripture that Satan can do nothing without permission from God. God is sovereign over everything and everyone, including the devil. The devil had to get permission to inflict Job with what he did. He had to get permission from God. So please understand, it's not one or the other. It's not a test or a temptation. It's always a test, and it's always from God, and its purpose is for your success. But all tests will tempt you to sin. All tests will tempt you to sin. And here's why. James 1:14. Each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Friends, it's your desires, your cravings, your lusts. And we all have them because we all have a sinful nature that goes back to the beginning. We desire things that are ungodly. We want the juicy gossip, the drugs, the alcohol, sex outside of marriage, and so on. We want what we shouldn't have because of our own inner desires. James makes it crystal clear here. When you're being tested in the world, it's not God tempting you to be unholy. God would never do that. In fact, I would say it's impossible for God to tempt you with something that is unholy because God is only holy. Think about that. He would never do that. In the same way that God is love, if you are his, he can only love you. He could never hate you. You are his. He loves you. So when you feel tempted by something, something you are going through, and you're tempted to do something unholy or ungodly, that's coming from inside of you. Stop giving Satan all the credit. It's your desire. It's your lust. It's what you want. And when you feel that, and you know that, and you understand that, then you can open up the Word of God, and you can see the great hope we have in Jesus Christ. Because without Christ, we're hopeless. But in Christ, it tells us in Romans 6, verses 6 and 7, and verse 12, we know our old self, that old nature is crucified with him in order that the body of sin can be brought to nothing. We are no longer, say it, church, no longer enslaved to sin. No longer slaves to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. And let sin not reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us what to do when we feel temptations. No temptation has overcome you except what's common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. With every temptation, God provides a way of escape so you may be able to endure it. God will always provide a way out of your temptations. That's the good news. God will always get a way out for you. There's a door to walk through that God has provided for you to get away from that temptation. But the bad news is, every test, you'll feel the temptations because of your own inner desires. Take it from me as we look at verse 14 again. The lures, the enticing. You know I'm a fisherman. You know I love fishing. I have many lures. Many lures. I can entice fish to bite the hook. I have lures for every water, every depth, every season. And I'm sure there's a lure for every test that you will go through. There is something that will entice you to sin. And know this about sin. Romans 14 tells us, for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. If you're not trusting God, that's a sin. That's the bottom line. We always think of sin as something we do. We commit a sin. But did you know that there are sins of omission? Things we don't do? Like not trusting God, that's a sin. You're not trusting him. Trust him. That's the word. That's what we need to do. So what do we learn today? We learn that the testing of your faith has one question with many parts. Will you trust God? The testing of your faith is intended for your success. And thirdly, the testing of your faith will tempt you to sin. And I believe you prove your faith is genuine. You prove your faith is genuine when you understand the testing of your faith. And I hope you understand the testing of your faith. I hope you learned today maybe some things that you needed to unlearn. Some things that you thought about God and his character and the things that you go through in life. Maybe you heard today truth, and I'd like you to remember those truths. I hope that when it comes to tests, you know God is doing it for your good. With every test, God is planning to help you so that you're not lacking in anything, so you can count it all joy. I'll finish with Peter's words, very similar to what James said. Peter, like many of the disciples of Jesus, were martyred for their faith. They were killed for what they believed in. They went through tests. We see right away Jesus, when he is resurrected, and Peter and John are preaching the word, and they're healing this man, and they get thrown in jail for it. And the authorities are saying, you need to shut up about Jesus. And they're saying, we can't listen to you. We have to listen to God. And they went through a lot of trials. Peter writes, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you're grieving because of your various trials. But the trials, the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, it may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the perfect end for the Christian. That when Christ comes back, we are lacking in nothing. We have endured every test, we have trusted in God all the way through. Amen. I give you an invitation to trust God. Normally, we have an invitation time, an altar call here, and we have a song that we play, but we're doing things a little differently because of VBS. But I just want to invite you to trust God completely in what you're going through. And I would like you, if you would like to fill out the connection card if you haven't, for two reasons. One would be if maybe you need to talk to someone. We have free biblical counseling here. I don't know a lot of churches that offer this, but we offer it here, that if you need to talk about something, maybe it's once or twice, you just need to sit down, you need to run something by, you need to just get something off your chest. We have free biblical counseling with trained counselors, and we offer that, and you can put that on the connection card. Or maybe you just want someone to pray for you. Maybe you just want to share what you're going through, and we'll pray for you. We have a prayer team that prays every week consistently for you, for these prayer requests. So I encourage you, I invite you to fill that out. Give that to Connie in the back at the welcome table, and we will certainly be here for you as you think about whatever it is that you are going through. We are here for you, and we will walk with you through it. And I think that's the beauty of it. I've been through many tests in my own personal life, and to have someone that walks with me through it, that's probably been there and can speak truth into my life and encourage me and build me up. Whenever you have that person, you know it's like gold, man. It's so special. And so there's lots of people in this church that are willing to do that, to walk with you through it. We don't come here on Sunday and put on the fake smile and pretend like, hey, everything's okay in our lives. It's not. We get it. We understand that. And that's why we're here for you, because we want to love one another. So I want to transition to VBS and just give a little report. Before I give the little report, I have a little joke that I saw. Anybody familiar with the Babylon Bee? It's sort of a humorous kind of Christian sarcasm, if you will. And so I found this one, and I thought, I gotta put this one out there for VBS. It says that newlywed couple thinks that they're going to wait a little longer to have kids after volunteering at VBS. Just kidding, parents. We love your kids. But, yeah, it's a little chaotic sometimes. But the kids were super fun and respectful, and it's hard. They haven't been in school, they haven't been in that environment in a while, and so then to come here for 4 days and be in that structure, it's kind of fun. But look, this is the great results. We had a great week of VBS, Monday through Thursday, and then today. 5 wonderful days, 3 new songs that they learned, and let me tell you, songs stick into their head. I mean, they're going to hear these songs, and they're just going to remember them. It's powerful how songs stick in our heads. We had 47 volunteers throughout the week. Give a hand for all the volunteers. 97 kids came, our largest VBS ever, which was amazing. And here's the real, really, really special part is you know, we do this to plant the seed that God loves them. And every kid, depending on their age, can comprehend a little bit about God and about Jesus and about the Holy Spirit. And so we try to meet them where they're at. But when it comes down to the last day, we do talk about, and I talk about with them, what it means to be a Christian, to make a decision to follow Jesus. And, you know, many of us have made that decision as children, and then maybe we made that decision again as adults, and we understand the process. It's not just a one-and-done thing. It's an ongoing daily thing to follow Jesus. But we had 22 kids raise their hand that they wanted to decide to make a decision to follow Jesus. So that's fantastic. That's wonderful. And Marie and Caitlin, our children's leaders, followed up with parents and let them know if their child raised their hand, and as we talked about that. And so that was awesome. And then, of course, it was one unforgettable week. So that is fantastic, and is what we're going to do.